We've been talking the last couple of weeks about thriving. See, one of the purposes of beginning to shift our thought and our understanding into the place of thriving is so that we take an intentional advantage of His presence in our life. So that we shift out of a mindset that's just merely surviving, just trying to get through the day, just trying to get to the end of the week so we can get to a weekend, so we can sleep in bed for an extra hour or two in the morning, so we can do those things. So that's just surviving. He says, I want you to be intentional about thriving. I want you to be intentional in the midst of the circumstance, in the midst of the storm, to be as Jesus was, because He was intentional about thriving. Because, see, He wasn't concerned about the storm. He was concerned about delivering what He had to say to the disciples, delivering and showing and demonstrating what the kingdom of God looked like, regardless of what was going on around Him, because He had a focus to thrive in the presence of God. He had a focus to thrive because why? Because He was doing what He saw His Father doing. So that gives us a clue as to how to thrive. Is to begin looking to the Father. And if we see Him doing it, that's what we're doing. If we don't see Him doing it, we ain't doing it. And it can be simple, as we've explained, as simple as just a change of our thought process. Just as simple as a change from thinking about the disaster that just happened to recognizing that, you know what, even in the midst of this little mini crisis, I can release something of the kingdom. When you see that glass of milk that's been precariously perched on the edge of the table, and as soon as you see it and you recognize it's going over, and yep, the kid's elbow hits it and it's gone, and it's all over the floor. You have a moment there to shift from surviving into thriving. Because if you're just surviving, you're going to chew the kid out and you're going to get the mess cleaned up and you're going to do all that with an attitude. But if you're thriving, you'll recognize it's a moment to teach and a moment to embrace and a moment to impart and release life. So you look over there and you say, you know what? I used to do those sort of things and this has happened to me. And so, but at the same time, it's happened to me. I want you to know that I love you in spite of this moment. And what we're going to do is we're going to clean this up together. Will you come down and help me get the paper towels and we're going to clean this up. And I want you to know you're loved. Why? Because you're embracing something. You're imparting something. And as you impart, you're causing someone else to thrive. And as a result, you get to thrive. See, that's just as simple as a mindset change. I no longer see the situation around me, the crisis around me, the way that I used to. I see this crisis around me as an opportunity for the kingdom of heaven to come and release something. Hallelujah. So that's a little bit of where we've been. When Kianta was speaking, she sparked a remembrance, because see, the Lord spoke something to me, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago. I think I texted it to Tina about a week ago. But it, basically what He said is that the season of graduations is not over. The season of graduations is not over. He said there are some graduations that are as simple as a change of thought, but there are other graduations that will begin to actually change the very structures that they are attached to. That means and He said, every graduation is a delight in My eyes. Everyone. It doesn't matter whether it's just simply a change of your thought or it is something that begins to shake the very place that you are. Every graduation is a delight to Him. Because see, in those graduations, there's an opportunity for Him to bring increase into your life. And He's looking to bring increase into your life. There's an opportunity for you to begin to thrive. And He's looking for you to be able to thrive. There's an opportunity for you to begin to manifest the kingdom of God in a brand new way. He's looking for all that to happen in our lives. It's because see, everything that He is doing, everything that He is doing in your life, when you're going to thrive, it's really about your response. So when we begin to look at the opportunity, see, everything that Jesus did, what he did was he began to acknowledge the kingdom of heaven within him. When we begin to acknowledge the kingdom of heaven within us, it begins to shift our atmosphere. It begins to shift the atmosphere that we belong to or that we come into. And so as we do that, it gives him an opportunity because, see, everything that he did, he wanted to just not only just touch the person who he was directly relating to, but also others. Did you find that scripture for me? Okay. Hallelujah. At the moment, it slips my mind exactly where the woman who was caught in adultery, where she, I don't remember where that passage is. So if it can, somebody can remember, remind me. But here's the deal. There was a woman who was caught in adultery. And she was caught in the very act of adultery. And so what did the Pharisees do? The Pharisees brought her before Jesus. They brought her before Jesus and began to just chunk her into the middle of the little, kind of almost like an arena, because all the men were circled around and they had something to say. They were going to stone her because John 8. Let's see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me see what we got. Okay. Yes. John 8. I was in Luke 8, so that wasn't going to work. The 8 was stuck, but not the right book. Yeah. And early in the morning, he came again to the temple, John 8, verse 2. And all the people were coming down to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now the law of Moses commanded us to stone such woman. What then do you say?" See, they had an attitude, and their attitude was one that they were trying to trap Jesus. They didn't really care about this woman. They didn't care about the situation. They were trying to trap Jesus into saying or doing something that they could begin to prosecute him for. But see, Jesus' response tells us a whole lot about Jesus, because we know that what he began to do was he began to kneel down, and he began to make a line and write something in the sand or in the dirt. But see, what it doesn't tell us is a couple of things in that story. Number one, the law prescribed that both the man and the woman were supposed to be stoned. Where's the man? Yeah. Where's the man? In other words, if they were really interested in justice, if justice was the goal, the man would have been there too. See, this wasn't about serving justice. This was about getting a point across, about trapping Jesus. But see, Jesus had a light in him that allowed him to see more than what was being said and seen. And so they weren't doing it. But see, one of the things is, the other thing is that when he began to kneel down, I believe what he did was he knelt down in front of her, positioning himself between the crowd and the woman. Why? Because he's interceding for her. He's interceding for her in this moment in a physical way. And then as he begins to write, I believe that he was writing things that began to remind them of their own sin. Began to remind them of their own need for grace in their life. And because as he was reminding them for their own need of grace, then there was those, and it says that the oldest ones left first. Why? Because they had the most things to remember, and they go, I'm trying not to look at, you know, people in here. But the older you get, the more aware you get of the things that you've already done. I can tell you, when I was young, I was not really aware of what I was doing. I'm not saying that I was doing the right things. I'm saying quite the opposite. But it didn't dawn on me the impact of those things until I began to get older. So he was doing that, and as they did that, then the Pharisees began to recognize their need for grace. The same was no different than this need of this young woman. But see, he began to speak to them, and as he was speaking to them, his desire, see, was for them to recognize in their own heart. And his desire was for them to not only to save this young lady, but to save them. His response when he was being persecuted, when he was being set up for a trap, was to try to reach out to them. That's a response, see, that's a response that should be happening within our soul no matter what it is that we're experiencing. Because when we're experiencing something, then God has given us an opportunity to bring a response that brings heaven to earth. Why? Because you are heaven on earth. There's heaven in you, and it's being released into the earth. So when something comes against us, we can begin to recognize we have an authority here to release heaven into the situation. Go with me to Hebrews 4. We haven't been there in a little while. This is one of my favorite scriptures. In Hebrews 4, there's something that's interesting that he releases here. Verse 14 says, since then we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For do we not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in all things. He was tempted in all things and yet without sin. So what is that saying to you? That's telling you that, number one, to be tempted is not a sin. To have something come into your life that makes you think wrongly is not a sin. To dwell on it and to begin to operate with it, now that becomes a sin. But to have that initial thought, to have that initial impact is not a sin. And it says right here that he was all those things that occurred to him had happened to him, but it didn't place him and didn't change who he was. When something happens in our life, when a thought happens in our life or a situation happens in our life, it doesn't have to create and result in sin. It's really good to know that, because if you know that, then you can let yourself off the hook for some of the things that you've been concerned about. See, self-condemnation is nothing but agreement with the enemy. So we can let go of it. We can let go of it. Sometimes religion has taught us to condemn ourselves, but that's not the way Jesus operates. Jesus, when he operates, he didn't ever condemn anything. He allowed the Spirit of God to bring correction into situations, conviction into situations, but he was never bringing condemnation, even to the Pharisee. Yet without sin, let us therefore, verse 16, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Some reason I always, when I was first born again, I was always reading into that scripture. I was always putting to help others in their time of need. Because see, I could see God helping somebody else. I could see God coming along Steve, because Steve really needed it. And I could see him coming along Steve, and I could see him releasing. I could say so many names here, it'd be too fun. Yeah, insert your name in this place. I could see God coming alongside you because you needed it. But what I couldn't see early on was God coming alongside me. And see, I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think that that's something that I'm the only person who's ever thought that way. Because God is what he's wanting to do is wake us up to recognize the truth of his word and the truth of his heart for you. For you. And so we know grace is not something that comes alongside us so it's an excuse for sin. Grace comes alongside us to empower us not to sin. It's important for us to have the right emphasis. Grace is what comes along so that the will of the Father gets accomplished. See, so many people preach grace and so that you can do anything and God will forgive you. You know what? God will forgive you, but if you're doing it because you're thinking that, it ain't the way that works. God's grace came alongside you so that he could empower you not to sin. It can empower you to power through the situation and become who He said you could become. See, when it says this word help here, so to help in time of need, I looked up this word and I heard somebody say this and I thought, well, is that even true? And I thought, yes. And I looked it up and I was like, yes, it is true. See, that word help actually is the word that means to frap. To frap. F-R-A-P-P. So we don't know what frapping is anymore, okay? Because it's a nautical term. It's a nautical term for what they would do with a ship that was in a storm. When a ship was in a storm, what they would begin to do, because remember, ships were made out of long strips of wood. And because it was made out of long strips of wood, in a storm, those things would become loose, and if those planks became loose and they opened up, your ship was going to sink. So what they would do is they would start wrapping in a storm. They would start wrapping or frapping. They would take chains or cords or big cords and begin to bind up the bottom of the ship from the top. They would bind up the stern of the ship. Whatever area was being attacked, they would begin to bind it externally and tighten it up so that it could survive the storm. See, that's a picture of what God is doing for you. That's a picture of what His grace is doing for you. His grace is beginning to bind you up and prepare you and equip you to go through the storm. He didn't take them out of the storm. He's equipping you to go through the storm. Why? Because if you'll go through the storm, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to spit on everybody. If you'll go through the storm, I'll move over here. If you go through the storm, then you will be able to overcome. See, if God just rescues you out of the storm, there's no overcoming. But if He takes you through the storm, and you survive through the storm, you conquer through the storm, you overcome through the storm, and you become stronger because of the storm. So that's what frapping is about. It's a binding up. It's a preparing and an equipping to survive the storm in the best possible way. That's the nature of our God and the nature of His grace. And that's the nature of beginning to thrive, is to recognize I don't have to be ejected out of the storm. I can be equipped to go through, because on the other side, I've already learned how to conquer. On the other side, I've learned how to be a better me. On the other side, I wasn't just depending on God's miracles. I was depending and knowing His grace is there for me. When we allow Him to shift our thinking. I love the miracles of God. But you know what? If my whole life is depending on God's miracles, I'm missing something. I'm not thriving, I'm surviving. If my whole life is about just trying to reach to the next miracle so I can claw my way back to the surface, then that's just surviving and that's not thriving. But if I recognize that His grace is with me, that's an empowerment, and an empowerment means I can thrive. It means I'm now in a position to release. Why? Because something has been imparted to me because of the storm. When I've overcome something because of the storm, there's an impartation that happens, and that impartation is transportable. I can now begin to release it on somebody else. I can now begin to release God's destiny on somebody else. I can release His overcoming over on somebody else. Why? Because it's always alive in me. Once it's alive in you, you don't have to doubt it. Because see, the life, the Christianity that we live is because of what's alive inside of us. It's not about what we read. It's not about what we have in our head. And I thoroughly encourage you to read your word and study your word, but allow it to become alive in your heart. It's that which is alive in our heart, that which becomes rhema, that changes our situations, that which God has already empowered and He's breathed on in your life, that allows you to breathe on someone else and release it in their life. God wants to create overcomers. He was tempted in the same way that we are. His responses were always to release the kingdom. When our response becomes more about releasing the kingdom and less about us, then it begins to change and shape the very outcome that we have. He's desiring. He's desiring to show up. He's desiring to show out. He's desiring to release himself through you. See, every word that he's given to you, every situation that you've overcome, now it becomes a testimony that can change somebody else's life. You can give and generate hope. You can create hope and the possibility of transformation, but simply because you're releasing a testimony of God's goodness. Hallelujah. It's not wrong to have to go through a test, to have to go through a circumstance. Jesus found himself in the wilderness. It wasn't because he sinned. It was simply because he had a destiny to release. And for him to release it, he needed to overcome what the children of Israel weren't able to overcome. And so he began to set a testimony that, okay, maybe the children of Israel weren't able to do this, but I'm well able and I'll show you how. There are people in your life waiting for you to show them how. Show them how. There are people in your life who need to see Jesus in you. Jesus being released. Your destiny. Your destiny. You know, we're called to many things. Your destiny. Your best destiny is if you're just... say, whatever it is, Lord, yes. Yes. My response to you, Lord, is yes. I'm not even sure yet what you're asking, but I'm going to push this in my heart, Lord, because my response to you is yes. Because when we release a yes, it allows him to release the way, the empowerment, the destiny that goes with it. Hallelujah. I want you to know that you're loved. I want you to know that you're God's delight, that you're special. He's always looking for new ways to get across his point that he wants to embrace you. That he wants to envelop you, protect you. Sometimes we don't necessarily understand how that is or how that could even be. But you know what? He sees past everything else. He sees into your heart and sees into the original person you're created to be. And he calls forth that original person, that original life that looks like him. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you.